From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. LSU wins the national title. Ed Orgeron, the head coach of the national championship Tigers, will discuss that a little bit last night. I think Neil watched The Bachelor, so he might jump into that as well. I saw that. And whatever else suits us as we move in here. Two more days left in the dead period, or at least the dead period's over in two more days. Recruiting will jump back into focus here very, very, very soon. So we'll get to that as well. The Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West, daiquiris, lunch specials, ribs, great gas prices, even better with Speed Pass Plus app, the mobile rewards program, and more. Next door, you get the Oxford Crystal, $150 off a steamer pack or a sack full if you'd like to use your basketball ticket as a coupon. Also, if you are in the Saltillo area, if you'd like to eat, well, they're going to open up the Saltillo Crystal there very soon. If you'd like some employment, send a DM over to Oxford Exxon or Oxford Crystal on Twitter, and they'll take care of you there as well. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for our friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for, and he's going to send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's going to be right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest of that is up to you. Here's what I can tell you as a loyal Clark Ford client, I guess, customer. Corey and the people at Clark Ford are fantastic. You get a great product. They take care of you. Corey, all he says, he wants to become your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. He will prove that to you. All you got to do is make that call, 662-257-1900. And don't forget tonight, Ole Miss and Florida basketball. What time's that game? Do you know?
I'll look it up. I don't know.
You can watch it at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Be a great place.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Perfect. Be a perfect spot to go watch some college basketball. Ole Miss and Mike White and the Gators squaring off there in Gainesville. You can watch it at Rafters. Be a great place to watch it. Big screen TVs, lots of TVs all over. Food, great food, drink specials, the whole deal. And then don't forget on Sunday, it's Championship Sunday in the NFL, and you can watch a lot of those games after you enjoy brunch at Rafters. $3 mimosas, $5 Bloody Marys. Brunch starts at 10:45 at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford.
So LSU facing a 17-7 deficit early on. They come back, rolling up winning by 17, 42-25. Took a knee inside the Clemson 5-yard line to end the game. Joe Burrow, second quarter, threw for like 186 yards or something like that. They ended up with 640 yards of total offense. Clemson definitely hurt by a linebacker getting ejected at one point for targeting, but LSU just far too much for Clemson last night over the course of four quarters. Had a calm conversation. Start here. We'll go through this a little bit, then we'll move on, get some Ole Miss stuff as well. It's Tuesday in January. There's not a ton going on. Best college football season of all time for a quarterback? Nobody in the SEC had ever thrown for more than 4,500 yards in history. He threw for 5,600.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. I mean, the only one that comes to mind
is Cam.
Is Cam Newton, the year they won.
There's
the title.
A list of quarterbacks who have won the Heisman, gone undefeated, and won the national title.
I've been told to turn me up. My voice is not as powerful as yours.
Okay. I turned you up a little bit earlier. Okay. Matt Leinart on that USC team that rolled everybody did the same thing. Cam did the same thing. There's a list. I mean, there are people.
Vince Young had a great year.
Obviously.
But, yeah, I mean, it's way up there. I mean, and the whole historian people, I don't know what to tell you. I can't go back that far. Like, you know, I mean, I don't remember college football before about, like, 1982.
Well, it was like they did the thing at halftime last night. I know you weren't watching, but they did the thing at halftime. They're like on the field, the 10 greatest college football players of all time or something, because it's the whole, you know, 150-year thing or whatever. And Jim Brown was named number one, and was like, hey, do you agree with that? And I'm like, I don't know. You can't compare eras. I mean, sure, whatever. Yeah. Like, I have no problem, but whatever. I'm good with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you tell me. Hey, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay.
The people who get worked up over stuff like that, I just look at them and think, man, your life must be far simpler than mine, because I don't have the energy to get worked up over something like that.
Transitioned a little bit, though. I mean, Burrow's going to be the number one pick. The Bengals are going to take him first.
I would certainly think so.
Yeah, I mean, he accuracy-wise, good God, last night.
They will take a long look at Chase Young, according to NFL people that I know. One of the concerns about Burrow is just, you know, he's already 23. They're going to pick him apart. Starts now.
Yeah, that's what happens.
3 months of picking him apart.
Finding reasons why it's not the way to go.
Yep.
Overthinking like a son of a gun in every direction.
So we're already doing it with Trevor Lawrence. Picking him apart. Just picking it. Can't be a 20-year-old kid that's going to improve. Nope. Pick him apart.
I'll be honest. As much as Burrow kind of has an argument there, and look, this isn't the most talented college football team of all time. That's probably 0-1 Miami or something like that. But
right.
LSU, from a resume standpoint, has an argument to maybe have put together the best season of all time. You look at it here.
They faced
everybody. Five of the final eight teams in college football.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
15-0.
Yeah.
First SEC team to go 15-0. It's an argument. Because the final standings, LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Florida, Oklahoma, Alabama. They beat Alabama, Oklahoma, Florida, Georgia, and Clemson.
Yeah. I mean, they took on all comers. And the people that are doing this thing, well, yeah, they wouldn't have beat Ohio State. Well, Ohio State didn't beat Clemson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not LSU's problem.
I mean, yes, I do think Ohio State had more talent than Clemson, but they played the game.
Yeah.
Clemson won.
I mean, that's – if you're going to hold that against LSU, you're just being nitpicky at this point.
They didn't – last night's game was not decided because it was played in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
No, that game was decided because LSU's offense couldn't be stopped.
Yeah. It took a minute. Venables did a damn good job early.
Yeah.
Brady and Insminger adjusted, and then here we go.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
He got into a rhythm, and their receivers are really, really good. Their line's good. They adjusted. They got out of some of that bunch sets that they were trying to run early.
Hilaire was really good last night, too.
He's a great player.
Frankly, kind of underrated given the rest of that team. I was trying to go to LSU's official website for something a minute ago, and they have so much of those, like, pre-pages up of national championship stuff that it took me over a minute to just get through it to get to the regular website.
Probably selling some gear today.
Yeah, there's.
I'm guessing.
It's hard to get to the website right there. It's having some issues.
Guessing it's a busy day in Baton Rouge.
Their site's actually kind of down. It's kind of it's lagging a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It might be drunk. You don't think Louisiana's a little drunk today, do you?
You didn't get a 20 from Odell like everybody else last night, or 100 or whatever he was passing out with the Benjamins?
No. I know everybody's worked up about it. You know my attitude on this. Everybody cheats.
They don't typically cheat on video in the middle of the locker room.
No.
Just saying.
No. But I'm for the kids getting paid, so I'm glad they got paid.
Just hide it is my issue.
Yeah.
Because it's going to go undone, but then we're going to be selective on what we do punish next week.
Sure.
Like, that's the problem.
Sure.
It's not paid or not paid.
Well, I mean, if you're waiting for me to defend the NCAA, it's going to be a long wait.
I know.
Hope you packed a couple of lunches.
But that's the kind of stuff that should get busted is my point. If you're going to be blatant with it and you're going to punish anybody, punish that. Because it's right there. That's my point.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you can put layers up and be clandestine and creative, hey, I'm all for you. Have at it. It's kind of fun even a little bit. But I don't know. That's the thing. Let's look at LSU's thing here. They had 2, 3... Had 3 one-score games throughout their season.
Alabama, Auburn, and...
Texas,
yeah.
They beat Texas 45-38 in Austin.
That was the night that I said, look out.
at the time, Texas was ranked ninth, obviously.
LSU's defense was super young, and Texas scored on them, and LSU just kept their pedal to the metal. Kept it a two-score game. Never let it get testy.
Ed Orgeron, 14 years after getting hired as the Ole Miss coach, wins a national title. He's grown up.
Of course. Well, there's a lot here. Number one, LSU is a significantly easier job than Ole Miss. Anybody that wants to argue that, I mean, I give up. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
But 05 Ed's not winning a title at LSU either.
No. That's what I was going to say. But he grew up. Ole Miss should never have hired Ed Orgeron in 2003. Was it four or five?
It was the end of four or five. Five was his first season.
Ole Miss should never have hired Ed Orgeron. Robert Kiyat gets a pass on that because Robert Kiyat gets a pass on a lot of stuff. Robert Kiyat hired Ed Orgeron. It was a terrible hire. Ed Orgeron was guilty of taking a job that he was offered. And I'm not defending him. I wasn't here. I know it was bad. I know it was nightmarish. Frankly, that was predictable.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I mean, I covered Ed for at least two of those years, and I like Ed. We've been over this a lot on the podcast. It's a guy that took a job he shouldn't have been offered.
Yeah.
Everybody would have taken it. Everybody wanted to be in it. I mean, everybody would have said, yes, I'll take a shot at being an SEC head coach.
Sure.
Here's the thing about Ed. And even guys that have tons of stories, you know, we talked to Robert Lane on this podcast, worked his tail off every day. Frankly, overworked.
Exactly.
Did everything he knew to do to try to put it together. He just didn't know how to put it together. He was gruff. He mismanaged staff. He was belittling to players. He couldn't handle any of the administrative part of it, from a discipline to an academics. I mean, total train wreck.
Yeah.
Complete and total train wreck. But it wasn't because of a lack of work ethic.
No.
At all.
He tried to do everything himself. I always kind of think about it when I watch that Baker Mayfield commercial where they pretend that the stadium is his house, and he's like in the bathroom. Have you seen this? And one of the toilets isn't working, and he's on the phone. He's like, "Hey, I've got 68,000 people coming this weekend. It's the third one. Maybe it's the fourth one. Whatever." I always kind of think about that with Orgeron. He tried to do everything here, is my understanding. And you can't. You have to delegate. And he got to LSU, and he got that job. He'd learned a lot. By that point, he had also been at SC as a interim head coach, had done a pretty good job there. It's always amazing. They never get criticized much for screwing that up. They probably should have hired him, should have given him the gig. They didn't. And because he took over as the interim when Kiffin was fired, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably should have gotten the job. He gets to LSU. He had learned a lot. And at LSU, he did what he had learned to do, which was hire the people that he trusted, delegate.
I was about to say, I'm not going to criticize anybody. I mean, some people almost use this as a negative. Being the head coach and delegating and hiring the right people is the job.
Oh, absolutely.
That's not a negative. That's a huge positive that you hire and then get out of the dang way.
Yeah.
Now, you took advantage of a generational quarterback, potentially, and all that kind of stuff. But
sure.
That is
counts.
What it
they recruited him.
They took a chance on him. He was the backup somewhere.
Yeah.
He lost to Dwayne Haskins.
Handed him the keys.
He sat behind JT Barrett for two or three years or whatever it was.
Handed him the keys. And then let him go. You got to give them credit for that. He's let Dave Aranda run that defense. My understanding, he pretty much stays out of the way. He's let Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady run that offense. To Ensminger's everlasting credit, he understands that he's in the twilight of his career, and Brady is a very bright offensive mind, and the two of them put egos aside this year and did that job, and they did it well. And they were a very, very, very good football team. And I don't know what's going to happen at the quarterback position for them moving forward. I know Derek King's in the transfer portal now. I don't know whether Derek King's going to. I've heard LSU. I've heard Oklahoma. I have heard Arkansas. From people who know what they're talking about. I mean, so who knows what Derek King's going to do? So, you know, whether LSU's getting into the transfer market, there's a kid leaving Stanford, quarterback. I can't think of his name. I'm not.
What is that kid's name? Anyway, go ahead.
So whether they're getting into that market or whether they're going to hand it to Miles Brennan or whatever it is that they're going to do at LSU, I don't know. It will be interesting. Can they keep Joe Brady? Does Joe Brady go to the Carolina Panthers? I mean, there are questions that will start getting answered
KJ Costello.
Costello. There are questions that will start getting answered here in the next few days and weeks, but you can't ever take away what they had in 2019, which is a historically great team that went undefeated and won the SEC and won the national championship and basically took on all comers and basically won every single award that can be won at the college level. They had a dream season. You really can't have a better season than this one.
Nick got one. Les got one. Now Ed has one.
And sometimes you have to tip your hat. And I know a lot of Ole Miss people don't want to tip their hat, and that's cool. I get it. I don't know Ed Orgeron. I don't know him on any personal level much at all. I don't think he thinks that I was fair to him when I was in Mobile. I think I was. I said that the hire was a train wreck and that it was going to be end disastrously, and it did. That doesn't mean that you're a hater. It means that you saw what was coming. You talked to people and you knew exactly what was coming. And his tenure in Oxford was an absolute total disaster, and it probably helped make him a better coach today.
Oh, it did. It was in a lot of ways. Look, he found the perfect fit for him. It was his dream job, all that kind of stuff. But in a lot of ways, LSU is what Lane's dealing with at Ole Miss right now. You got one shot here.
Yeah.
Not to win a national title, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
You got to show that this is different. This is what it is. This is whatever.
Well, when Ed Orgeron was hired, it wasn't a popular hire in LSU either. There's a little revisionist history written there by a lot of people. I mean, Matt Moscona.
Remember the Tom Herman night? I mean, a lot of stuff going on here.
Matt Moscona was very publicly critical of the hire. A lot of people there were critical of the hire. It was not a, quote,
and
popular
Joe
hire.
Said number one from the go. You saw that a couple days ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Which is a total lie.
Yeah.
But whatever. You know, I mean, history is written by the winners.
Ed Orgeron, okay, let's do this. Whenever his tenure is up at LSU, 2 years, 10 years, 50 years, whatever.
Okay.
Is he going to have a resume more similar to some of the SEC where he keeps doing this, keeps putting this kind of program together, or is he going to be Gene Chizik? Took advantage of a team and did whatever.
I think he'll be better than that.
Okay. Yeah, he's not gone in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
They're recruiting at too high of a level to fall off that far. But it will come down to the quarterback play.
As always.
In 2019, 10 years from now, what will be interesting is, do we look back and go, man, that LSU team was great? Or do we look back and go, that damn Joe Burrow was something else?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. There's no way to say that today.
Was that the start of a changing of the guard? Or was that just,
that Joe Burrow, man, was unbelievable. Who knows? Can't say that the morning after. There's no way to – everybody wants to do the hot take predictions. You got to let it play out. There's no way to know that. They're awfully good everywhere. But they now have a gaping hole at quarterback. Because one dude had one hell of a year. Good night. I mean, the picture of him sitting outside of the locker room at the Superdome – in his uniform, legs crossed, smoking a cigar with the hat in his lap that says Big Dick Joe, remains to this moment one of the most epic photographs of all time, where you're like, it's your world and we're living in it right now. And
well,
that
somebody
moment,
said on Twitter, you know, that's got a chance in like 40, you know, 20, 30 years when somebody looks back and goes, hey, here's photos of this decade. That's one, you know, because look, he ends up being even a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
It's one of the crazier success stories, frankly, that I can remember.
No one saw it coming.
Last chance transfer. I mean, he was okay last year, but nothing great.
There were some signs late last year that he was figuring it out. He was awfully good in their bowl game. He was really good against Texas A&M in that weird-ass game that ended
with... That's right, yeah.
He was really good. There were some signs last year that, hey, this Burrow cat's got an arm. He does some things. And then they brought in, again, this is an Orgeron thing. He went and hired
Joe Brady.
And handed the keys to the offense. I've said this story many times. I was flipping on the first game of the season, and I watched them against Georgia Southern, and they're throwing the thing all over the field. And I'm like, man, you know, God, I realize this is Georgia Southern, but place has a little different feel to it. The fans were reacting to it. It was loud. It wasn't a typical LSU beating the hell out of Georgia Southern crowd. It had a little different feel to it. And you said, well, if Orgeron will keep his hands out of it, This gets interesting. And to Orgeron's credit, he did. He sat up. Whenever they're on offense, he's just cheerleading.
That's it.
Clapping his hands, cheering, let's go, and slapping people on the butt. And you know, I mean, hey, it worked.
And, you know, occasionally he gets a little antacid, you know, needed and probably has to make himself stop, but he does.
But he does. Now, can he continue that over the next years without Joe Burrow, without this kid who plays with this incredible calm and incredible confidence and is so incredibly accurate and efficient and understands the game and, you know, is a grad transfer who's just taken a couple of online classes and he's basically an assistant coach in the building? Can Ed leave his hands off of it when the next quarterback is a little more mortal? I don't know. We'll see.
But for the season, A+.
But as of today,
yeah.
As of today, Ed Orgeron is the National Coach of the Year, and he's a national champion.
Yeah,
is what it is. You can, as people say, you can you can't take it away from them.
Yeah, what a world. Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, premium lawn care throughout northern Mississippi, but also custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces of really any kind to get your dream backyard. You can do that easier than you think with a call to MasterCuts at 662-607-7773 or online at gomastercuts.com.
We're also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with a personal touch. They also bring a commercial checking account, now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. Comes with fully interactive online banking. They can set up any local business to deposit checks from their office and not have to worry with coming to the bank daily to deposit those checks. To learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. When you go in, tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on this podcast at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We're also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Whether you're thinking about a golf trip in Europe or you're thinking about a cruise or a resort in Florida or whatever else the case may be, get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. John, what you do is you give him a call. You give him some options. You give him some parameters, which one to do, give him a budget. He gives you options that you're not going to find on your own. And no, you don't have to live anywhere near Memphis to do it. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We are also brought to you by the Weston Jackson. They sponsor my mailbag, which will be up at some point tomorrow, probably later in the day rather than earlier. But that's a me problem, not a you problem. It'll be up. It's sponsored by the Weston Jackson, which is home to Soul Spots, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. It's also home to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, home of Creative Craft Cocktails, curated wine list, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's offerings are fantastic. You'll love them. You should try them. And you should stay at the Westin Jackson there. It's a Marriott property in downtown Jackson.
I thought for just a second last night, kind of move on a second. When Clemson cut it to 3 right out of halftime, and then Burrow, his first two series second half, looked like those ribs were really bothering him. He got popped
at
the end of the first half and was not moving around well at all. And they just kind of found a gear there. He's got a moxie about him that I think I'd be okay with him being my quarterback at the next level. I've been back and forth on that through some of the season, but yeah, if I'm a Bengal, I'm pretty excited right now.
Yeah, of course. I mean, better than what they've got.
Wow.
And he definitely has an air about him. Guy you can market. I think he's a prototypical NFL quarterback who's far more athletic than he gets credit for.
couple of huge runs last night. He really runs.
He really moves around. You can't let the middle linebacker just bolt and leave the middle of the field open. He'll take advantage of that. And that's today's NFL.
I mean, third and goal down there, they ran a quarterback draw.
Well, he's a big boy too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody says that he was Mr. Basketball in Ohio. There's probably some pretty good basketball players in Ohio most years. He's pretty athletic. He's pretty smart. I catch myself cheering for him. I like him. I like what he did at his Heisman presentation. Maybe gave the best Heisman speech of all time. What he's done for the food banks there in Southeast Ohio is remarkable. It deserves a ton of credit for it. He's the impetus for what's happened there, which is great. It's a phenomenal story. You know, you hope people can use their platform for good, and he appears to have. He's got a lot of cockiness about him, but, I mean, hell. I mean, last night, that dude was the king of Louisiana.
Yeah.
I mean.
He stayed in his uniform a long time last night.
Yeah. Look, a couple years
ago. Always hard to take that one off the last time.
A couple years ago, he was questioning what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. Nebraska said no. Mistake, Nebraska.
Yeah, not the best move.
Nebraska said no. He didn't know anything about Louisiana. Can you imagine the first day that he went down? They got down there in like August or July or something. Can you imagine out there, hey, let's go do some running? It's like, man, this air is thick. Can you imagine?
His dad's from Amory, so at least he probably had some southern understanding. But yeah.
It's been a minute since he'd been there. I mean, you know, give the guy credit. It's a hell of a story. I realize that there's an LSU element. People don't want to celebrate LSU, and that's fine. But I think you celebrate that kid. There's no way 2 years ago that he had any reason to believe that he was going to have this moment.
No. All right, where is this lighting money on fire, and where would this be worth putting a hundy on? Next year, college football odds to win the national title.
Okay.
Clemson plus 225, that's worth the money.
Yeah.
They're always in there. They're going to be back in the playoff again. Trevor Lawrence is back.
And the ACC still
going to
suck.
They got to win one or two games.
I mean, sure. Florida State's going to suck. North Carolina's going to suck. Everybody's going to suck. So, I mean.
So, they're in the playoff.
They start the season 11-0.
Yeah. And then we'll go from there. Ohio State plus 300. You get 3-1 on the Buckeyes.
Is Fields staying or leaving?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything.
Okay. Whatever.
Sure. Why not? Bama plus 600. I'm going to go no on that one. I don't believe in them next year. Now
plus 600?
For Bama, that's good odds, though. That's the only catch on that is you get 6-1 on Bama.
Yeah, I like those odds.
You're not ready to take all the thorns off the rose yet, huh?
No. I mean, let me see Nick Saban not do it 2 years in a row before I just completely go, hey, the king is dead.
So at plus 6, you're going, okay, we'll play.
Yeah, I like that.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. The odds are good there. If it was 225 like Clemson, I would not like it. It's 600.
No, right. I'm good. 600, I kind of like that.
Georgia at plus 8.
Nah.
I don't believe in them to win it.
Well, and Fromm's gone. I mean, you know.
Is that?
I don't know. He's been their quarterback. Someone's got to step in and be their quarterback.
LSU repeating plus 800.
Nah.
No.
That feels too much.
And a little fat and happy for a year.
Yeah.
Florida plus 1,400.
Well, from a buy standpoint, that's a good buy. Now, do I think Florida is going to win the national title? I don't. But from those odds, that's
Florida
a good buy.
If you think Florida can beat Georgia, it's a good bet because then it puts them, you know, at least in the SEC championship game.
And I do think they can beat Georgia.
So that's not terrible. No. I don't believe in it, but
it's a good purchase.
Shows you the fall off here too that we're getting this far down the list, and then see, there's a huge jump here. Falls all the way to 3,000 now.
Okay.
At Oklahoma.
Well, and that's a good buy.
It's a good buy at 3,000 because, sure, they'll figure it out.
You got to think Alex Grinch's defense will be better in year two than it was this year. That's got to be significantly better.
Oregon at 3,000.
Oh, that's a really good purchase.
I don't hate Oregon at 3,000.
I like Cristobal. Now,
they need a quarterback.
Here's my hot take. It's not Dabo Swinney who replaces Nick Saban. It's Mario Cristobal.
I think so.
There's your hot take of the day.
So 100 to win $3,000, you're good on Oregon there.
Yeah.
Throw a great Hyundai buy on that one.
Well, I mean, the Pac-12 is going to suck.
So just you're in, like, again, like Clemson, you're there. You got to beat Utah. Okay.
Yeah, great. And that's not Oregon's fault. I'm not going to – I mean, if I'm a voter, I'm not punishing Oregon because the conference they're in sucks.
I want nothing to do with Notre Dame at 3,000.
Nah. They're never winning another national title.
100 here? Not a bad team. Penn State plus 3,000.
It's a good buy.
Could you – because if Ohio State doesn't get a quarterback and falters a little, there's an opening there for that Big Ten team.
Well, and they're always really good. They're not quite right there.
I think that's where I'm done. I don't think
who's
I can
even after that?
Well, A&M's got the same odds as Penn State. Hit 3,000. No, like that hell at all. No.
Did you see where someone, I don't know who it was, might have been Brett McMurphy, someone told Brett, hey, you got to put out a preseason top 25 today. This. And I'm sure his reaction was, I'm going to get killed. But they're like, yeah, but it's going to get clicks.
It's going to get tons of clicks.
A&M like at 5, and I'm like, what are we doing? I mean.
He put A&M at 5?
5 or 6 or 7, somewhere in there. I'm not, I refuse to critique anyone's preseason top 25 because I know how this got worked and someone made him do it. But here's my problem. People go, well, Kellen Mond's back. Okay.
I'll run through his thing in a minute. We got time. We ain't got crap going on today.
When they go, Kellen Mond is back. Well, so what?
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
What does that mean? He was fine. He's not going to go. I mean, I don't expect Kellen Mond to have a Joe Burrow season.
Auburn plus 3,000.
Nah.
No. No. I don't believe in Nick's enough for that.
No.
Texas plus 4,000.
No, hell no.
Just light it on fire and throw it away.
I mean, come on.
Michigan plus 4,000.
No.
Wisconsin plus 6,000.
No. I like them
They're
better.
They're good, but no.
I would bet on Wisconsin before I bet on Michigan.
Utah, 10,000.
See, I would bet on Utah before I bet on any of those other Big Ten teams.
I would too. I'd bet on Utah before I bet on A&M.
Because all Utah's got to do is beat Oregon.
And then after that, Minnesota plus 10,000. No. Iowa State, Washington, USC, Tennessee.
Tennessee style.
Plus 10,000 on that. You get the same odds on Utah or Tennessee.
Yeah, give me the Utes.
Yeah, I'll take the Utes.
All day.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So there's your odds. If you want to light some money on fire, you can bet on those things right now. Speaking of, Brett McMurphy. You missed the local one. Ole Miss at 25.
No, I saw that.
Yeah.
Feels high.
He says the Lane train takes over in Oxford. New coach Lane Kiffin and Harris, a talented group that features 6 Rebels who started last year's freshmen or sophomores. Let's see. Plumlee led the SEC in rushing yards per game. Kiffin's debut season with Ole Miss certainly won't lack storylines. The Rebels' home schedule include contests against Auburn, Alabama, Florida, and the first meeting with Kiffin and new head coach at Mississippi State, Mike Leach, in the Egg Bowl. He had Minnesota at 26, Tennessee at 27, Baylor, speaking of the opener, at 28, Michigan State and Missouri rounding out the top
30. Baylor falling out of the top 25.
He did.
Yeah.
What do you think that line is when it opens? Baylor minus 6. Oh, and a half.
I was going to say Baylor minus about 3.5.
Okay.
Minus 4, somewhere in there.
We'll talk about that for weeks in the summer when it comes out.
Yeah.
It will be all we talk about for about a week.
Does Baylor have a rival site?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, they do.
Hit them up.
Yeah, remember I read through their hot board the other day.
Hey, Chase, I can't remember last night.
Who did they hire? They hired anybody yet?
I don't think they've hired anybody yet.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. I do remember you reading that because of Josh Heupel.
Yeah, that's right. Oklahoma State at 24, Virginia Tech at 23. You can stop me if you have an interest in any of this. Number 22, North Carolina.
Oh.
Bill Longo, 22.
Woo.
Utah, 21.
Okay.
I'm going to go they're better than that.
Probably.
Over, under. I like them being better.
He does
than
a
that.
Really good job.
Washington at 20.
Okay.
Having replaced Jacob Eason, obviously.
Yep.
UCF at 19. Michigan at 18. TCU at 17. Texas at 16.
They won't be 16.
Just give me worse on whatever.
Texas is going to drop.
Because
they suck. Everybody loves the name and the uniform, but they suck.
Could you
get
more, we love the name here? Texas at 16, Notre Dame at 15.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Just rinse and repeat. Put them in the top 25 every time. Yeah. Then they lose 5 games and we do it all over again.
They don't finish in it, yeah.
USC at 14.
Okay.
You okay there?
Yeah, I like that. Clovis kid's good.
Georgia at 13.
Sure.
That's about right.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem
with that. Good.
Wisconsin at 12.
Yeah, that's about right.
Penn State at 11.
Okay, they might actually finish higher than that.
But. Iowa State, 10.
It's probably.
Big believer in Matt Campbell.
Probably
right there.
High, but Matt Campbell's done a really good job there.
Oregon at 9.
Okay.
here's the interesting part of Oregon, and I forgot to mention this when we were doing the bets a minute ago.
Okay.
Week two, you know who their non-con is?
It's Bama, right?
It's Ohio State.
Ohio State.
They open with North Dakota State, the FCS champions, and then play Ohio State in week two.
Well, you can't accuse them of ducking.
There.
Pardon the pun.
That's good. I don't understand why you'd ever play North Dakota State.
No.
Ever. Yeah, hey, I need an FCS game. Let's call the Bison.
No, I'm calling like Old Dominion.
Yeah. What's Western Carolina doing tomorrow?
Yeah. What's Eastern Carolina doing?
Well, they're a D1 school.
Whatever.
East Carolina.
Yeah, well, I'm finding one that's East Carolina State.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't want to play anybody good.
Yeah, don't play a good FCS team. No. The last thing I want to do is them or Eastern Washington or Sam Houston or one of those kind of cats. James Madison.
Don't let me play somebody.
Like James Madison beats somebody every year. And it's like, well.
Yeah. Why are you scheduling them?
What's Presbyterian doing tomorrow? We'll play Presbyterian.
Call them.
UNA is D2 now.
Yeah.
Play them.
Have them come up.
I know it didn't work well in baseball, but we'll give it a shot. See what happens. Florida at 8. It's fine. Oklahoma at 7. A&M at 6, like you said.
Whew.
Auburn at 5 is too high.
Yeah, it's too high. That's but I can see why they got put there.
Bama at 4. LSU at 3. Ohio State at 2. Clemson at 1.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't.
It's January the 14th. We've got a minute to figure it all out.
Old Dominion's FBS.
Whatever.
I think they're in Conference USA, aren't they?
I have no idea. We're going to do the conference game again because I can't. I don't do well in the conference game.
You're bad at the conference game.
If it's not Power 5, I'm like, I don't know.
Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. I'm a little out of it. Yeah, your Conference USA teams.
Okay.
You ready? Louisiana Tech, you knew that.
Yeah. Rice.
There's like six you get off top of your head.
Southern Miss.
Yep.
Arkansas State. No, they're Sun Belt.
They're Sun Belt.
They're Sun Belt.
You should know that league.
Florida International.
That is correct.
Florida Atlantic.
That is correct.
SMU.
No, they're American.
Oh, yes, right. Is North Texas in the? They're in the Sun Belt too.
No, they're in the.
Oh, are they really? USA? Oh, good for them. That's about it.
There are two teams that have moved.
East Carolina.
No, they're
Sun Belt.
They're American.
They're American.
Yeah.
East Carolina's in the American.
East Carolina's in the American.
Okay,
that is correct.
How about that?
Louisiana Tech, UAB, Southern Miss. Texas San Antonio, North Texas, Rice, UTEP, Florida Atlantic, Western Kentucky, Marshall, Charlotte, FIU, Middle Tennessee, Old Dominion.
That's a hell of a league. Wow. Boy, that's compelling stuff.
If you're a team like Southern, it's like, how do we miss that American boat?
Yeah.
How do we not get pushed over to the American?
Hey, everybody, Old Dominion's coming to town. Woo!
Oh, my God.
I remember when I was in Ruston as a kid, though, the Lady Texters were awesome. And Old Dominion women's basketball team was phenomenal. And that place would just be packed for those games. Those were the days. Old Dominion.
Okay.
Like Nancy Lieberman. Didn't she go to Old Dominion? Ann Donovan. I remember those names.
I don't know.
I think Nancy Lieberman played at Old Dominion.
How do you?
I don't know, because it was like a big deal in Ruston. Women's basketball was huge for several years.
You're serious?
Oh, I'm totally serious.
She went to Old Dominion.
There you go.
76 to 80.
There you go. I was a little kid.
She was a second round, 15th overall pick in the 1997 WNBA draft.
Who could forget?
So she'd been out of college for 17 years when she got drafted?
I don't know.
Well, I'm...
Yeah, if you say so.
I take Wikipedia's word for it.
Yeah.
It's a point guard for the Phoenix Mercury.
I can remember some of the Lady Texter games. It's like she went up against, I think Kim Mulkey was the point guard at Tech at the time. Yeah. Yep.
Seen a lot of her baseball games over the years.
Yeah. Her son's good.
Well, that always showed her every like.
Didn't
two
he get drafted
innings.
By the Astros?
I think that is right, isn't it?
I think so.
I'm sure you have thoughts there.
Oh, I got lots of thoughts.
Do you really?
On the baseball thing? Oh, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. I didn't think the punishment was nearly hard enough. I would have stripped them of every...
St. Louis Cardinals. Sorry. Oh. Robertson. The other.
Gives me another reason to cheer against him. I don't think the penalty was anywhere near hard enough. I would have taken every international dollar away. I would have taken more than the first two picks. I probably would have taken the first 10 picks.
Okay, we'll go here in a second because I do. I've got some thoughts too. We'll lay out the Astros stuff. We'll talk about that in the next segment, and then we'll probably get into a little bachelor talk as well. But anyway, podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. Your local underwriting understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and rates are pretty good. So give Jason a call, 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're going to tape a Mind on My Money podcast today. Pray to the Lords above that the audio is better. We think we have worked a shortcut around it. We'll see. We hope. It is brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. They're based in Madison, Mississippi. They represent clients in more than 20 states. They have advisors in multiple states as well. They're also home to the Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services team. All you got to do if you're 401k, your company 401k is not operating to your satisfaction, call Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services team today. They can conduct a complimentary, no obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the Oxford Exxon podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fees. We're also brought to you by Nest and Wild. Sleep better with a Nest and Wild mattress. Nest and Wild is a Mississippi-based mattress company making a high-quality mattress delivered right to your door. They make buying a new mattress easy. Every Nest and Wild mattress is 1 foot thick, giving you comfort and support that will last. A lot of online brands sell an 8-inch or 10-inch mattress with less support and durability. Not Nest and Wild. Every one of their mattresses, from the twin size to the California King, are 100% American-made, and they're all 1 foot thick. Also, with Nest and Wild, you fight cancer in your sleep. Nest and Wild is partnered with former Major League pitcher Jason Mott and his foundation in the fight against cancer. They donate a portion of every mattress back to Jason's charity. It's a no-risk decision. Nest and Wild believes in its product so much that they are offering a 99-night trial on every mattress. Try it out. Sleep on it for 99 nights, and if you don't like it, it's cool. You can return it. NestandWild.com. Order your mattress. Use the podcast code REBEL20 and get 20% off your purchase. Your mattress will arrive at your door in 3 to 5 days. We'll have AFC and NFC championship game picks up on the site at some point Thursday. They're brought to you by Southern Craft Stove and Tap. They've got your pregame and pre-concert needs covered. Whether you are headed to Oxford for the Rebels SEC basketball slate or to Tupelo for one of the many events like Miranda Lambert on Thursday, make sure you get your event started off right with a visit to Southern Craft. Conveniently located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford and at 205 East Troy Street in Tupelo, Southern Craft has all your Southern favorites ready to serve your hunger needs. Drop in, enjoy a curated cocktail or one of their many craft beers on tap, and don't forget to ask about the banquet room for private dining or to have all of your favorites catered for any occasion from office to private event. It's now available in both locations at Southern Craft Stove and Tap. Dead Soxie wants you to know they have created socks that make an impact. Dead Soxie has teamed up with Vogel Alcove to help young children in the Dallas area overcome the lasting and traumatic effects of homelessness. These incredible socks were created by the very kids this program is serving with 3 one-of-a-kind designs. Each sock tells its own story. So visit deadsoxy.com. Click on the yellow banner at the top of the page to visit the collab page. 50% of all proceeds have been pledged to help break the cycle of child homelessness. So extend the season of perpetual giving and support this incredible collaboration. While the promo code will not apply to the Vogel Alcove collaboration in order to maximize the donation, remember to enjoy the 30% off all other Dead Soxie products with promo code REBELGROVE.
So Major League Baseball comes out and hands down these penalties. At first, the GM and the manager both suspended for the 2020 season. As Neil said, they lost first and second round draft picks in 20 and 21, and then they had a $5 million fine where the penalties handed down to the Astros.
Yeah, $5 million is really going to hurt.
Yeah, the money thing, whatever.
Like me fining you $15.
Yeah, that's not a big deal.
I mean, it's paying the Astros to write the check. It's about the extent of it.
You knew you were getting the manager and the GM fired. that's probably the biggest penalty part of this, is that was going to happen once that happened. That was going to be a cause and effect.
Suspended for a year is a punishment. They'll be hard to ever get a job in baseball again, but they both will. Pete Rose gets a lifetime ban. Mm-hmm. A lifetime ban for betting on his own team. He bet on the Reds to win. Now, he managed games. He deserved to be punished. Don't get me wrong. These guys actively cheated a system that they had been told, hey, guys, we're watching. They actively cheated a system. Everybody's hung up on this, and I get it. Cost the Dodgers a World Series. Probably right. Here's what else it did. Think about how many young pitchers got called up that year. How many young pitchers pitching in the early portions of their career against the Astros got shelled by the Astros because the Astros knew what was coming. Those pitchers get sent down. Those pitchers have numbers that aren't as good as they should have been. Those pitchers now don't get as much in arbitration. Those pitchers now aren't as attractive as free agents. Maybe those pitchers lose their livelihoods. People get fired. Pitching coaches get fired.
Yeah.
It goes far beyond this cost the Dodgers a World Series.
Look, there's a huge butterfly effect to anything like this. I mean, you know, like I read it for the comedy. I mean, the Banner Society, SB Nation spinoff, had a huge thing about the Elijah Moore incident, exactly what all happened from that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can make the argument, that it cost Ohio State a national title because State didn't get to six wins. I mean, got to six wins because of winning that game, which gave LSU an extra quality win. Had that not been the case, does Ohio State end the one seed, play Oklahoma in the first round instead of LSU playing Clemson,
right?
And then you go from there. Point being, yeah, I understand what you mean. It's never as isolated as one or two things. There's a huge spinoff on anything along these lines.
Sure.
Oh, I think Alex Cora is about to get hammered.
Deserves to be hammered.
Yeah, he's about to get hammered because they were not kind at all in the language they used with his role. Basically said that he was the main culprit here.
When you see major leaguers in an 0-2 count or a 1-2 count, not only hitting a fastball, a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, 420-something feet, but when you see them just turning on one, they knew what was coming. If you watch much Major League Baseball, understand that these are grown men who carry wooden bats to a plate, who are, you know, you go to all these travel tournaments. These kids are the very best player that's ever been in one of those travel tournaments. They are the very best player that's ever played at High School X. They've got hand-eye coordination that every travel coach in the country combined couldn't teach. And they look like idiots sometimes swinging at pitches that are in the dirt, right? Swinging at pitches that are 10 feet away, basically. It's because they don't know what's coming and the pitch fooled them. When you see guys just absolutely dialed in, at bat after at bat after at bat, they know what's coming. And it's not, I've heard people do this thing, and people have stopped a little bit. Some people are still doing it yesterday. So they stole signs. People have always stole signs. There's a difference between the guy, the runner out at second base, putting his finger on his hat or something, or brushing his shirt or something to say, hey, here comes the curve, than having technology that allows you to instantaneously relay what's coming to a hitter at the plate.
Oh, kind of reiterate and give you just a crazy stat on this because I had heard this before. I didn't know the exact number. Major League Baseball players, meaning somebody had a cup of coffee all the way to Hall of Famers, okay?
Okay.
In the history of the game, meaning starting with 1876,
okay,
how many Major League Baseball players do you think there have been total? I have the number.
25,000? I don't know.
19,364.
Okay.
A small town worth of baseball players playing Major League Baseball throughout history.
Yep.
Pretty select group.
Yeah.
Pretty select group.
Yeah.
It's hard as hell.
Yeah. You got to be special.
Yeah. 19,364 per Baseball Reference. I'll take their word for it.
Yeah, yeah.
They would know.
They would know.
How many runs have been in Major League Baseball history? I got this too.
I would even know where to start.
I could miss this by 10 million, honestly.
I'd have to sit down and like start thinking about it. I'd have to be able to extrapolate some math.
1.9 million.
Okay.
14 million, or right at 50. This next season will be the 15th million at bat in baseball history.
Oh,
it's,
wow.
It's 14,999,673 as of right now.
Okay.
307,000 home runs to this point.
Okay.
689 managers.
About to be 690 because the Red Sox are going to hire a new one. He's gone.
Think that guy's out too?
I think at minimum he's going to get a 2-year ban. If you're baseball, you got to fix it. Got to fix it because it starts to mess with the integrity of the game. You can't mess with the integrity of the game.
That's a good point, actually. I'm kind of curious. Other teams doing a very similar system? Did the Astros just get caught?
Well, they probably weren't the only one. They probably were egregious about it.
I mean, you think something goes on with the Brewers at home?
Yeah, no doubt in my mind.
With Yelich splits?
Yeah, it's insane.
So what would the punishment have been? What would you have done? If you're Manfred or the Czar, what would you have done?
Hinch and the GM Luno would have gotten two-year suspensions.
To make sure they're fired.
Yeah, fired and they can't manage for 2 years. Can't be in the game for 2 years.
Okay.
Can't broadcast, can't do anything, can't be in the game.
Nothing associated with baseball.
For 2 years.
Okay.
I would have taken the first 5 draft picks away for the next 2 or 3 years. And I would have stripped them of every cent of their international pool.
Oh.
They would not have been allowed to go to Venezuela or Puerto Rico or Dominican Republic or whatever and get players. Nope.
You'd have made the...
I would have made sure that 5 years from now they were a last place club.
That's where I was going with it. Basically, to make people go, hey, was that worth it? And they go, no. Because right now, oh yeah, sure, it was worth it. Why not? You got a ring. It's all right.
Yeah.
We're down 4 players. It'd be okay.
And I would have, as much as I hate this, I would have told them that you can't have any signage in your ballpark at all that indicates that you won the 2017 World Series.
So essentially you're at an NCAA level of stripping the title.
Yeah. I'm not going to do all the record book crap because that doesn't matter, but I would have said you can't have any signage in your book. You can't profit from it anymore. You can't sell T-shirts or hats or any of that stuff that says we won the 2017 World Series.
That's interesting.
Because you cheated. Throughout the World Series. Throughout the postseason. And I love how everybody goes, well, you know, we knew we had the best team. So you cheated anyway? And the whole, would you say this if this was the Cubs? Yes, I would absolutely say this.
Who will they hire as manager?
I don't know. Astros?
Yeah.
I don't know. Still should be a really good team.
Dang good team.
Very talented.
Some people compared it to Bounty Gate. Nowhere really close. I looked up some Bounty Gate penalties because I didn't remember all of them. It was obviously the Saints from 2012. They were fined $500,000. They lost their second-round draft picks in 12 and 13. Although, frankly, that's a much bigger punishment than baseball because of the way the draft picks work. Loomis was suspended 8 games, GM. Peyton suspended for the entire 2012 season. Greg Williams suspended indefinitely. Joe Vitt, an assistant coach, suspended for 6 regular season games. And then 4 different players suspended for 3 to 8 games, and then Vilma the entire 2012 season.
Yeah.
Was pretty substantial penalties for football.
And it was appropriate. It was right. You can't have people actively looking to hurt people and awarding it.
Yeah, it was right.
What would I say if this was ULM? I'd say good for us cheating like this. I mean, cool Warhawks. No, I mean, I'm. It's professional sports where it's everything's supposed to be above board, salaries, the whole shooting match. It's not like college sports where we all know everybody cheats. Does LSU benefit from the Lady of the Luck thing? Of course. Everybody cheats. Everybody's cheating. Major professional sports are not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be above board. It's supposed to be professional. You can't do things that actively threaten the integrity of the game. I'm less interested if I go to a game where the outcome is predetermined. Where the outcome is being fixed.
Yeah. Is this a problem for baseball?
But Ronald says it's no different than college. All pro teams try to steal signs. But stealing signs with your the old-fashioned way on the field is one thing. I mean, that's you get into the old school baseball stuff. If the catcher catches the guy at second base trying to steal signs and relay to first base, next time up he might get one high and up. There's ways to police stuff like that. That's kind of old school. There's no way to police the technology stuff unless you crack down. And you've got to administer penalties that force teams when they report to Florida and when they report to Arizona next month. Where one of the first meetings is, hey, nothing. We're going to do this the right way. It's not worth it. Those meetings have to happen, and you have to make sure that you put the penalties in place to make that so.
Sports is constantly fighting perception, fan issues, and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Making tons of money, but...
Yeah. It's got to get it right. You have to get it right. In pro sports, everything has to be above board.
Take our last break of the show. We'll tell you about Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy, G&M. They're on South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222. They deliver local to your home or workplace. Offer MedSync to fill your prescriptions the same day every month to make it easy on you, coordinate everything, and let you benefit from it. They also have Right Way Meds that will individually package each medication dose as you need it and make it easy for you to take it when you need it. That could end up saving lives. Again, 662-236-2222.
On this podcast, we're always telling you that a trip to Oxford just isn't complete until you stop to visit our friends at Blue Delta Jeans. But in 2020, the Blue Delta team has some great news for our listeners that don't make it to Oxford as often as they should. Blue Delta's new website is a one-stop shop for blue jeans. Pick your fabrics, pick your threads, make all of your customization choices, and order your new Blue Delta jeans online without having to come to the Oxford studio. Visit BlueDeltaJeans.com to get your new pair started today, and don't hesitate to reach out to the folks at Blue Delta anytime on social media or at info@BlueDeltaJeans.com to get a fitting scheduled today. We're also brought to you by the refrigeration company, TRC, owned and operated by Jeremy Wattler. He's been in the refrigeration field for more than 20 years, including 5 as a national service manager. They understand that great service means being responsive. Their highly trained, responsible, and dedicated staff are available 24/7 to ensure your complete satisfaction. They specialize in ammonia refrigeration, but work on any other HFC, HCFC, or CO2 systems. They're building winning relationships with customers in baking, cold storage warehouses, ice production facilities, and facilities serving dairy, food, poultry, and catfish processing. They're based in Alabama, but they're licensed in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and South Carolina as well. They can handle all of your company's refrigeration needs, including installation, fabrication, service, compressor rebuilds, ammonia detection calibration, vibration analysis, and more. To learn more, call Jeremy Wattler at 251-348-8533 or email him at jeremy@therefridgeco.com. Follow the refrigeration company on Facebook or at their website, therefridgeco.com. AMA brought to you by Elite Dental Care with offices throughout West Tennessee in Germantown, Jackson, and Trenton. They have 5 doctors with more than 75 years of combined experience, and with their different areas of expertise, the doctors at Elite Dental Care offer convenience along with the latest in technology. Speaking of, they stay up to date on all the latest technology, including intraoral cameras, digital x-rays and impressions, 3D x-rays and more. Their TVs and radios in every room, giving customers, patients, the comfort of home. all while they receive the most modern technological treatment. So if you're looking for a dentist in West Tennessee or the Memphis area, call Dr. Mark Harper, Dr. Clint Buchanan, and Dr. Mike Farah at Elite Dental Care. To reach those doctors, go to EliteDentalCare.com or follow them on Facebook and or Instagram.
Florida hosting the Rebels tonight. Again, 6 o'clock start for that one. The Gators 10-5 overall. They are 2-1 in the SEC, if I have that correct. Got it in front of me. Yes, they beat Alabama 104-98 in two overtimes at home. They went to Columbia, South Carolina, and beat the Gamecocks 81-68, and they're coming off a pretty good thumping. Missouri handled them 91-75 in Como in their previous game here. So 2-1 in the SEC for Florida. Their other losses, 63-51 to Florida State. That was kind of a weird game there earlier in the season. Butler beat the Gators right after they beat Ole Miss. Butler had a 2-0 week in the SEC, beat Florida 76-62 in Gainesville on December the 7th. And then their other loss is to a pretty good Utah State team, 65-62. So there is your rundown for the Gators. Ole Miss with the work cut out for them. And this is the last game before Florida starts a pretty tough stretch. They've got a three-game stretch following this. Auburn at LSU, Baylor. Baylor currently ranked number 2 in the country. So Auburn, LSU, and Baylor up for the Gators after this one.
Bit tough game for Ole Miss to win. You got to think Florida's going to be pretty dialed in. They're not as good as the preseason hype had them. Kenny Blackshear's been terrific for them in the post. He's going to be a problem for Ole Miss tonight.
He's averaging 15-8 this season.
Yeah, he's going to be a problem for Ole Miss tonight. This week's a problem for Ole Miss because of post stuff. This is a big test for Hadeem C., KJ Buffin, Sammy Hunter. Those guys are going to have to step up or this week's not going to go well.
The other SEC games tonight, if you're curious, LSU is in College Station. That's also a 6 o'clock start. Ole Miss is on ESPN2. LSU and A&M is on SEC Network. And then your last game of the day, Missouri is at Mississippi State, also on the SEC Network. So while we were all watching football last night, what did we miss?
Oh, it was a hell of a show. It was the most dramatic second episode ever. I think he and Hannah finally ended it.
It was over now?
It's over now.
So yeah. If you had to guess now, you'll say she does not show up in the finale.
I'm going to guess she's gone. I'm going to guess they have moved on from Hannah Brown. The analytics showed them.
I would assume most viewers don't want her around.
Yeah, I would. My guess is that the analytics showed that, hey, let's get past this.
Let's move on.
Let's get this done.
To Hannah Kate and the rest of the bunch.
Yeah, they had a champagne controversy.
Hannah Ann
had a champagne controversy.
What?
Yeah, had a champagne controversy. One of the contestants on the show, one of the people that are competing.
Spoiler alert.
One of the contestants competing for pilot.
The candidates for marriage.
Yeah.
The marriage candidates.
Yeah. She had gotten a champagne bottle as a gift, a bottle of champagne as a gift years ago, and it saved it for a special occasion.
She brought it.
She had it. They had their
second episode as a special occasion.
You know,
whoa.
When you're trying to get in Pete's heart, Pete's pants, Pete's heart, whatever the case may be, you pull out all the stops. You're competing against a lot of other women, and she had it set up.
This makes no logical sense. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. She had it set up, and for when she got some one-on-one time with Pete, she was going to explain the significance of this bottle of champagne and open it, and presumably it was going to.
To this point, aggression has shown to be a positive.
Pete likes him some aggressive girls. And anyway, Hannah Ann, there apparently was another champagne set up somewhere else in the place.
Of course.
And Hannah Ann opened the bottle of champagne that the other girl had saved. She accused Hannah Ann of knowing what she was doing. Hannah, of course, claimed innocence, claimed that she did not realize that that was a special bottle of champagne. She got the champagne bottles confused. Can happen. And it led to a lot of tears, a lot of drama. Spoiler alert, both women who now hate one another
have moved on.
Each got a rose.
Yeah.
So, yes, sir.
So it worked. She got a rose.
Got a rose.
That was the point.
Everybody got a rose.
Did Pete comfort her?
He did
empathy for her plight.
He did, and he went and got another bottle of champagne, and they opened it.
Was it a special one?
It wasn't a special, but I'm sure that it meant something to everyone involved. And here we are.
Do you believe that it was an innocent mix-up?
My guess is that Hannah did not intentionally take the champagne. Hannah is... She's a 23-year-old model who's going to go a far way in this just based on looks alone. And so I don't really think that she would have potentially jeopardized her standing in the show by stealing the champagne. And she accused the other girl of bullying her, and Pete confronted her about the bullying. Says he's not going to put up with that. So he has a thing for Hannah. And he has a thing for the girl from Auburn. That's very obvious. Those are the two. He likes
this. Madison, is that correct?
Madison. She did not have a big role in last night's episode.
She'll get a turn.
She had a little, they kissed a little bit and stuff, but that was about it.
That's potentially a pretty common occurrence for Peter.
He kisses a lot.
Yeah.
He likes to kiss.
He's above the bell curve on the kissing in this show.
Yeah. He kisses more than most.
Well, I mean, it's not his first rodeo.
No, it is not his first rodeo. You damn right Chris Harrison is the man. When Chris Harrison walks in, everybody goes quiet.
He runs this thing.
One rose left on the table, and he says, "Ladies, Peter, this will be the final rose tonight."
I was listening to the Bill Simmons rewatchable, or the Ringer rewatchables for Happy Gilmore the other day while I was running. And they were discussing the Bob Barker scene where it was just so stupid that Bob Barker, of all people, is in the Pro-Am and ends up fighting with Happy or whatever. And they're like, in 2020, they're like, that was 25 years ago. They created a lot of buzz. Like, hey, Bob Barker's in this. Kind of weird. Like, whatever. What would that be today? And their point was, frankly, we're so desensitized to media that probably nobody does this.
Yeah.
But the equivalent was Chris Harrison that they gave. They said, Chris Harrison's one where everybody goes, oh, hey, it's Chris Harrison and it's whatever. And he's the dude.
It's amazing. I wonder what Chris Harrison makes on The Bachelor, but he doesn't do a lot on The Bachelor. I mean, he shows up and kind of moderates here and there, but he's basically not part of the show. I mean, Chris Harrison was on camera maybe a minute last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he's not, involved.
He doesn't have a direct role.
No, he's not like making out with some of the girls.
Yeah. I mean, that'd bring an element. If he could compete too.
I mean, he just comes up and says, "Peter, ladies, this will be the final rose of the evening. If you do not get a rose,
please say your goodbyes.
Please say your goodbyes and get the hell out of here."
Yeah, you're out.
Yeah.
We're moving on. Oh, fun times. Plenty of weeks to go on this ridiculous show that for some reason
we're talking about. Be careful.
Be easy. I know.
Good show.
Recruiting will start back soon. We'll have other things to talk about. Ole Miss plays a basketball game tonight. Baseball starts soon. We'll get into plenty of that.
But $8 million a year. Whoa.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Only in America.
Good to be.
Hell yeah. You're damn right.
Appreciate everybody on the live stream. Enjoyed it as always. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.